Good morning, New Hope. It's lovely to be with you again and to be continuing into this series on Revelation and the letters Jesus writes to his church. Today, as Sarah's read to us, we're looking at the letter to the church in Ephesus. And it's significant that this is the first one, and I believe it's not a coincidence. I believe that God really wants this one to be the foundational message. And so what we take and what we hear and what we understand from today's letter forms something of a solid foundation for us as we're trying to build what it means for us to be church in the way that Jesus wants and calls us to be. So let's look at the passage. Sarah's already read it, so we don't need to do that again. But just to pull out a few points, it opens with that reminder of the visual depiction of Jesus holding the seven stars and walking among the lampstands. And again, there's that sense reiterating that the seven stars are for the angels, that Jesus is saying, I have loved you, I've protected you, I've stationed angels around you, I love you. And the seven lampstands, he's walking around among them. He is with us. He is with the church in Ephesus. I love you. I am with you. And that sense of this is me who is speaking to you, not somebody dispassionate, far away, distance removed, but somebody who is aware of what you're going through, aware of what your struggles are. And I love you and I'm with you in them. And I think that's definitely true for us as well as we reflect on that and think about it. He goes on to identify what those things are, the things that he does know. So he pulls out, I know that you've been suffering and struggling. I know that you've been faithful and true. I know that you've tested the people who claim to be apostles and were not. You've proved that they were false and you've endured hardship in my name. And you've not grown weary. You've done this for years and years. And there is that sense in which Jesus is just really wanting to affirm this church. They're a church in a city called Ephesus in the middle of the Roman Empire, and they are suffering and have been for many years. The church itself was founded on Paul visiting through this big city. Now, he was passing through because it was the main trade route. It was the biggest town, the biggest city on the coastal area. It was an obvious place for him to pass through. There, it was a Greek city originally. They built a huge temple to the Greek goddess Artemis, and they'd built a huge library there as well, the Celsus Library, because as a culture, the town, the city, thrived on learning and education, and people came there to study, people came there to debate, people came there to bring their great new ideas. And so as a community, they really welcomed and were open to people bringing in new religions, new faith, new teaching about faith that existed. And so Paul, as he passed through, had planted that seed of Christian faith, and Apollos, the wise teacher, had then watered it. Priscilla and Aquila, who were friends with Paul and come with him, stayed and nurtured Apollos in his leadership. And then 10 years later, Paul sends Timothy to be the leader of the church in Ephesus, and we don't know how long he was there, but certainly for some time Timothy was there to lead that church. And so for the first 10 years of its life, this church had really good quality teaching. They knew the gospel. They knew what it was to live it out and to be Christians, to be followers of Jesus Christ in their life, in their community, and in their world. And then in around 64, 65 AD, the Emperor Nero blamed the Christians for the fire that destroyed much of Rome. And then the great persecution came. And across the Roman Empire, the churches that had been built and established and enjoyed good early beginnings suddenly experienced this persecution, which John is writing in the midst of, and his letters probably around somewhere around 84, 85 AD. And so they've had about 20 years of being punished for a fire that they had nothing to do with. They've been arrested, tortured, some of them killed, some of them exiled, as John has been. But the church as a whole has suffered. So there's been challenges to the church in terms of false teachers trying to come in and distract them. There's been challenges to the church in terms of great suffering and great persecution and injustice that they've experienced under Roman rule. And so as a community, Jesus is writing to say, I know I have been with you. I am compassionate about what you have experienced, and I commend you. I am delighted in the way in which you have faithfully stood by what you know to be true. You have tested and proved, and you've rejected the false teaching, and you've done this for such a long time. Be encouraged. But he also brings quite a direct challenge to them. He says, you've forsaken your first love. You've forsaken the love that you had at first. He said, consider how far you've fallen. Consider what changed. Consider what difference there is between the love that you had in the beginning and the love that you have now. He says, repent. He says, turn around. Come back to me. Come back to that first love. And then you will receive all of the promise, the promises that Jesus gives of being victorious and of eating from the tree of life in God's paradise. And so what we have when we look at the whole, when we consider the whole, is that this is a church has been through a tremendous struggle, been through so many difficulties. They've clung on to what they knew that they could do and almost clung on to it in their own strength. They've allowed that struggle, that difficulty, to harden their hearts. They are not open to new people or new ideas coming in. They're not open to loving people, even if they think that they're wrong. Perhaps they were harsh in the way they rejected those people who came in with false teaching, or perhaps they are just really resentful and have strong hatred towards the Romans or others who've persecuted them. Whatever it is, Jesus is simply saying, your hearts have become hard, and so let me come in again. Center yourselves on my love and let my love melt that hardness and change you and transform you into being the loving church that you were before. Now, this must have been a message for them that was hard to hear. I'm sure they had a great deal of pain at hearing this message. Perhaps it was a message that they took on board, I'm sure some of them did, with real sincerity and real desire to know more of Jesus and to return to him and to his love again. For us, as we think about that, as we consider what it means, what's most important is that we too are willing to allow Jesus to be the one who loves us and walks amongst us, knows our struggles, knows our pain, but is also seeking to melt our hearts and to mould us and shape us into being the loving community that he wants us to be, both personal and corporate responses to this. Now, Jesus himself, when he loved, when he was around, when he drew his disciples alongside him, he showed them his love. He showed the disciples specifically his love through teaching them, through drawing alongside them and just being friends with them. But he also loved many people within the community, and he taught his followers to love even their enemies, even those who did wrong things to them. And he himself then expressed that by not resenting or rejecting or condemning those people who put him on the cross, but rather asking the Heavenly Father to forgive them. He demonstrates this incredible love. And it's a divine love, a supernatural love. It's a love that is beyond our capacity in our human strength. And yet he says he's put his spirit within us. And because the Holy Spirit is within us, because Jesus is with us in everything we face, then we too can find our way to his amazing, incredible love. Now, it's important that we also note that Jesus didn't exhaust himself by loving others. He spent time on his own. He took himself off to find lonely places and to strengthen himself by time alone with his Heavenly Father. He had that bunch of friends that were his closest friends, and he spent time relaxing with them. He had Sabbath rest, and he did other fun stuff, and he went fishing, and he went on boats, and he went for walks, and he did other things. He wasn't constantly doing loving things for everybody or meeting every single person's demand. He didn't heal absolutely everybody in all of the country he went to. He healed many, but he showed love to all. But he did so in a way that was measured within his humanity. And so somehow this is the same thing for us as we reflect on it. What does it mean for us to receive Jesus' love? He wasn't always popular. Not everybody received his love. But for those people who did, it was powerful and life transforming. And they themselves then went on, having received it and known it and understood it, to be changed themselves in order to love others and to live a very different life than they had been living before. And so the church in Ephesus, Jesus is writing saying, come back to that first love, that excitement you had, that joy. There was something where this was, you were hungry for it, where you wanted more of me and you wanted to know so much more of my love. And there's something of a fatherhood in this message of Jesus. He is being, as he is, the Father as well as the Son. And for those of us who've had loving parents, we learned how to love from our parents. And they, in the way in which they loved us, taught us how to receive love and how to give it and share it. And that sometimes meant discipline, sometimes meant cuddles, sometimes meant instruction in other ways of living. And in the same way, Jesus took his disciples and he taught them how to love by loving them. He demonstrates for them, like at the Last Supper, when he washes their feet and says, now I've done this for you. You do the same thing for one another. He says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. And so what we see in the way that Jesus models love is that he gives it in such a way which is affirming and life-giving and powerful. But he himself, in his humanity, is not giving that out all of the time to the point of exhaustion. He is getting strength from the Heavenly Father in order to be able to give that, and getting direction from the Holy Spirit to know who and where and when to share it. And all of those things are important. They're important for the church in Ephesus. And as they do that, as they receive more from Jesus, as they understand more of how much he loves them, is with them in their struggle, and is at work to strengthen them and guide them and lead them and shape them and mold them, as they believe that and as they receive so much more from him, then they too can be filled up, can be strengthened, can be whole in Christ, can receive the love that he has for other people in order to be able to give it in that same way. And so as we think about what this means for us, the way that we are living our struggles, our momentary difficulties. So we have had 6 weeks of lockdown, and many of us are struggling already, and it's nothing compared to 20 years of persecution of the church and that the Ephesians were enduring. And yet somehow within us, if we're honest, we also notice that there are changes to our hearts. And this has been a challenge that God has really leveled at me this week, as I think about the times when I've been to the supermarket and I see empty shelves and things, basics like bread. A couple of times I went, there was no bread or flour or chopped tomatoes or other things. And just that resentment welled up in me. I don't know if you've had similar experiences, but I remember feeling so cross, and so cross specifically with those people who are stockpiling. And then, of course, you go and you think, well, I don't know if I'll be able to get that next week, so I better get two of those. And even for myself, just realizing and recognizing and spending time coming back to myself and saying, I've allowed my heart to be hardened towards other people, and yet I myself, I can really sense that pull, that need, that desire to be making sure that I've got enough for me and for my family. And so how can I judge other people? How can I be so cross with them? And resist the temptation to ram my trolley into the person in front of me in the queue who's got the last box of Cocoa Pops. How very dare they? All of these things, all of these ways in which we recognize that our hearts are hardened by the suffering and the struggle that we are experiencing, and that perhaps is in small ways. If we understand that over 20 years, the church in Ephesus had been experiencing those things, and in their humanity had just been struggling and hardening their hearts. For ourselves, how then can we just ask Jesus to come in more and more? How can he say to us, turn back to me, bring your heart back to me again. Whether that's in the supermarket or perhaps your struggle is at home. I find myself just being niggled by things that wouldn't ordinarily niggle me. Little things, you know, as we're all in the same space or we're all crowded together, and I get frustrated more quickly. I'm less patient generally. I seem to be forming bad habits myself because, you know, well, there's this and there's that and all of that. And there just is, again, that sense of this situation, this lockdown that we're all in, changing and shaping and moulding our hearts because it's difficult. And I, again, just my own reflections as I've been thinking about this, what are the things that I'm missing the most? What are the things that I'm most excited about doing when the lockdown is lifted and when we are able gradually to reopen our life and our community and our shared time and space together? And there are lots of really, really good things that I'm looking forward to. Seeing all of you again, being able to hug you all or pray with you or just sit and meet up and talk properly and in depth and heart to heart a bit more. And they're all good things I'm looking forward to. But perhaps in my focus, in the time that I'm spending thinking about that which I'm missing and which is lacking in my life, I'm not perhaps allowing or enjoying enough of what God has given me. I do have more time and more space to spend with him, but am I taking it? Am I using it in that way? Am I simplifying my life, the family kind of routine and other things in order for all of us to be more aware of Jesus' presence in our home? And in other ways as well, just aware that perhaps my heart is directed at things that aren't necessarily Jesus himself. And so I hear in this an encouragement from Jesus to me personally, and I pray for you personally, you hear it in the right way, that it's that encouragement, come back to my love, come back, draw in, let me love you, let me show you again how much I am with you in this struggle, how much I care about the way in which you are enduring and being faithful to me and all those good things in order that you can be encouraged as well. And alongside that, I think God is also bringing a challenge to us about how we build the church. There are many good things that we do, and there are many good things, characteristics of our church life together that are wonderful. And I'm sure if Jesus was writing a letter to New Hope, he would say, I'm so pleased with the way that toddlers runs and blesses people and draws people in and loves them and gives them a fun community to be a part of. And I love the way that you care about one another. I love the way that you're ringing each other at the moment and just checking up and staying in touch and doing all those really good things. I'm sure Jesus would want to affirm and encourage us. But perhaps also he would want to challenge us to say, and where is the priority on love? Where is the priority on receiving and knowing my love for you? And how many of these things, these good things that you're doing, are you doing out of the strength of yourself? Are you feeling tired and weary? Are you perhaps like the Ephesians, doing great things and enjoying great teaching and really solid stuff that you're getting a lot out of, but actually those other resentments or difficulties or things you get frustrated with or the way in which other people are engaging with our worshipping life now that we're online and not able to meet together, or this thing that frustrates you about the life of New Hope, or that thing that you think needs to be changed. In all of this, we might also find ourselves just struggling with those same things that the church in Ephesus did. Where is our heart? Are we all really centered on Jesus and able to receive from him the love that he's got to give us? The love that he says is washing our feet. The love where he gets down on his knees and takes off our dirty, smelly shoes, socks, and washes our feet and says, do the same for one another. It's a challenge. It's a beautiful one. It's an important one. It's a challenge for us to know how to do that. And yet, again, it's about desiring that we would be able to move in that direction rather than having the ability to achieve it immediately. So while we're in this situation where we are online, we're not able to be physically together, let's ask Jesus to show us how. Let's ask Jesus to show us what he wants to say and do, and share that love, the delight that Jesus feels. What is it that Jesus says to you about how he delights in New Hope that would be an encouragement to the rest of us? What is it that you really enjoy, that blesses you immensely about being part of this fellowship? And how is it that God is drawing all of that love together? And how is it that we can be filled up with his love and then grow in our way of maturity and an understanding as we know and grapple with his love more and more, that we become more like him as we spend more time with him, and then we operate and love others out of his strength at work in us rather than our own human strength? And so what is it, as Jesus says, come back to me, consider how far you've fallen, consider what it is that is the way to love being at the center, the very center. And it's about Jesus being at the very center. It's about staying focused on him in all that we do, whatever our situation, whatever our struggle might be. Jesus remains at the center. And as we do that, we will find things being shaped and molded by him. Whether that's our hearts, whether that's ministries being just different when we do reopen, something being a small shift, or just more loving in the centre of it all, or we find that we're more able to be patient as Jesus is patient with us. We're more able to be patient with either the people or the situations or the things that frustrate us about life in New Hope Church. Whatever that looks like, what does it mean for you? And I really want to encourage you to consider that with Jesus, to take it to him in prayer and say, Lord, I love my church. I've got frustrations, but I love them, and I love being part of it. Please show me how I can be your love to my brothers and sisters in the church. Please show us how we can be more dependent on your love, more focused on your love, Jesus, so that what we do is an outpouring of your love at work in us, and not just our human strengths and abilities and our limited ability to be loving and caring and generous and kind and gracious and all of those good things. And so I know that that's not necessarily an easy message to hear or a straightforward one, but I pray that together we might, even while we're not able to discuss it much, I hope that in your small groups there's opportunity to think and to pray, or between prayer partners or other people, but just to spend time reflecting on what that means and asking Jesus to meet with you and to speak to you, and then sharing it with one another. And I really believe that God is doing something new among us, and that he is calling us and will equip us and will do what we ask him to do if we seek him first, if we want to be centered on his love. Then he will do that in us. And so let's pray now, and let's continue to pray through this week for him to do just that. Loving Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you are with us in all that we're experiencing, in all the ups and downs of this particular season, and in the struggles that our life personally and as a church has involved for the last little while. And we pray now that you would be at work in this time. You'd be at work even today, Lord, to say to us and to show us again what it means that we would be centered on your love, that we would come back to you and our first love, that simple, pure joy of knowing how much you love us, what you have done for us, and how you want to build us up. And so please, Lord, we pray that you would be at work throughout this week and further beyond as we seek you and as we ask you to show us and reveal things to us, reveal your heart for us, reveal what your plan and your purpose is for us to be your loving community for one another and for the wider community around us. And Lord, show us how to be deeply rooted and centered on your love so that we know it, and as we know it better, we can live it and allow you to be at work in us to produce it to overflowing and outpouring. Lord Jesus, we pray all of this for your glory in our church. Amen.